Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. In verses 9 to 10, Paul deals with the reality of our spiritual walk. If we are truly saved and walking in the light, it'll be clear from the life that we live. Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is seen in three ways. It's seen in goodness. This word refers to uprightness of heart and life. It speaks of godliness in the motives, thoughts, and actions. It is the quality of God-likeness. This has also to do with our treatment of others. When we practice goodness, we are walking in love to those around us. We are being God-like toward them as we treat them like God treats us. The fruit of the Spirit is also seen in righteousness. This word refers to our standing before the Lord. When he saved us, God declared us righteous. He took away all our guilt, imputed the righteousness of Christ to us, and made us holy in his sight. Righteousness is seen in our lives when we live out the reality of who we are and what we have been made in Christ. It speaks of godliness. That makes a life being different and belonging to the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit is also seen in truth. It's seen in goodness, it's seen in righteousness, and it's seen in truth. This word has to do with honesty, reliability, trustworthiness. When this quality is seen in the life of a believer, it stands in stark contrast to the hypocritical, deceptive, and false ways of the world. Goodness, dealing with our relationship with others. Righteousness, dealing with our relationship with God. Truth, dealing with the personal integrity of our own lives. These three characteristics are called fruit. Fruit is the unfolding of life. None of these things, taken to their perfect fulfillment, are things you will find in the lives of the unbeliever. They are the fruit, the proof, the presence of the life of the Lord in us. It's no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. And the life I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And when we know Christ, we will be like Christ. You will notice in the text, Paul didn't speak about praying a prayer, joining the church, being baptized, being good to people, doing good works, or giving to or serving the church. All of those things are good, but they are works that are easily accomplished in the flesh. Anyone can do them, even someone who has never been saved. But goodness and righteousness and truth, those characteristics are only possible through the work of the Spirit in the life of a redeemed believer. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. The fruit of the Spirit. Verse 11 tells us that we are not to have any fellowship with, notice, now you see fruit again, but unfruitful works, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. have no fellowship on fruitful works. See, we see the fruit of the Spirit, goodness, righteousness, and truth, and then unfruitful works of darkness. Have no fellowship, meaning do not be a partaker of. Those who know the Lord should not be a partaker of the things that are evil, even by association. Even by association, we're told to avoid all things that are evil. We are to avoid even the appearance of evil, the scripture says. We have to be in the world, true. If we're not in the world at all, we cannot witness to the Lord, so you're going to be a light there. If we're to walk as light, well, you got to be in the world. You can't walk a light with all other light, and that's just it. You have to be light in the darkness. We have to be careful, though, that we do not allow ourselves to get trapped by the ways of the world. We ought to be a separate, holy people, giving glory to the Lord. The kind of sins we're told to avoid has been mentioned in Ephesians 4, verses 25 to 31. We've seen all kind of sins mentioned there, about anger, stealing, corrupt words. We saw in Ephesians 5, verses 4 to 6, filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting, unclean, covetous, idolaters. And that's not an exhaustive list of sins. You want to see even more sins, look at Romans 1, the last couple of verses. We ought to avoid all sin. The depth of our separation is pointed out clearly in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 9 to 11. 1 Corinthians 5, 9 to 11. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetousness, extortionists, or idolaters. Since then, you need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, covetous, idolater, a reviler, a drunkard, an extortioner, not to even eat with such a person. Those are the things that Christ tells us to avoid in the lives of believers. Not to even keep company with anyone named a brother. See, once again, you see the distinction. We're to be in the world. We are to be around people like that in the world, unbelievers. Who else are you going to be like to? But if a brother or sister claims to be saved and live constantly, they practice these sins continually, the Lord says, not even to keep company with such a one. We to guard our hearts, our minds, our bodies. Sin is all around us. But so is the help of the Spirit of God. If we trust Him, He'll help us to live lives that are holy and pleasing to Him. Our responsibility, back to Ephesians 5, verses 11 through 13, our responsibility to abstain from sin goes farther than simply not doing sinful things. Here we're actually commanded to reprove them. This means that we are to expose evil for what it is when we are silent about sin. We are guilty of encouraging it. When we ignore sin, we're guilty of promoting it. We see the word reprove, rather expose. We're to expose. We are to reprove. The word reprove carries out the idea of correction and discipline and punishment. It means that we're to confront sin by refusing to tolerate it. This means that there are times when we must speak out. I did a message a while ago, speaking the truth in love. We must speak out. We must tell others what the Bible says is right and what it says is wrong. Sometimes our intolerance of sin will be direct as we deal face to face with those who are involved and sinful activities. That's why I read you the scripture in Corinthians. Sometimes in the body of Christ, we just tolerate and tolerate and tolerate and tolerate sin. And the reason is, very often that we're cowards. It's hard to confront sin. We're not to be Pharisees pointing out every little single thing that we think is sin. But when it is clearly taught, as I read to you in Corinthians, sexually immoral people, idolaters, we are to reprove and to rebuke. Our reproof of wickedness sometimes can be indirect. That is, we do the opposite of what the world around us does, and God uses that to rebuke them for their error. That's sometimes the reason why unbelievers don't want to be around believers. They're convicted of their sins by the lives that we live. The world is selfish, we're to be given. They curse, we bless. They live for self, we live for God and for others. They lie, we speak the truth. Simply living for the Lord is a powerful testimony in the face of evil. One of our problems is the fact that we don't take sin seriously enough. We wink at it, we laugh at it, we see those around us who are engaged in it, and we fail to confront. We just don't take sin as seriously as we should. While we would never do any of the things those around us do, we enjoy them sometimes from a distance. We were contaminated by it because we refused to take a stand against it and rebuke it. Just like in the days of Lot. He lived amongst the people and tolerated the sins of the people. Verse 12. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Strong words. It's a shame to talk about the things that the world does. This is in Ephesians 5, verse 12. It's shameful to even talk about the things that the world does. But yet we love to hear a juicy bit of gossip, don't we? We talk about the sins of others, passing it around from ear to ear. God says some things are to be handled with as few words as possible. To talk about their sin in a way that spreads it all over the place is a shameful thing. I sometimes think we talk about sin like we do because we secretly want to be doing the things that others are doing. So we just talk about it. God says it's a shame for us to do that, not even to be mentioned in our midst. Verse 13 tells us how to handle sin, Ephesians 5. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. We handle sin by taking every action and exposing it to the light of the Word of God. We're to hold it up to the Bible. And if the Bible is against it, then we're to be against it too. That's why I said, don't be a Pharisee making up sins. If something is clear cut in the Bible, this is sin. I'm not talking about the blue laws of your church. Or your little blue laws that you have that you think is sin that's not mentioned in the Bible. If the Bible says something is sin, it's sin. Many things we say are sins are really matters of the conscience. But when it comes to sin that is mentioned in the scripture, it says that we are to expose, we are to make manifest. Exposing it to the Word of God. Holding it up to the Bible. If the Bible's against it, we're to be against it. If the Bible is for it, we're to be for it. The Word of God alone is to be the standard for our lives. Not the traditions of men, not what we think, but what the Bible says. Light makes things manifest, easy to see. When we walk in the light, it makes the evil of the world around us easy to see. The children of God should walk so holy, so clean, so close to God that we stand out as beacons of light in a dark world. Very often today, especially in the missional movement, people are trying to be as worldly as they possibly can to win people to Christ. The scripture says, be ye holy as God is holy. You're not going to win, quote unquote, people to Christ by being as worldly as they are. Christ wins people to himself. He regenerates. He raises the dead. You can be as worldly as you want, and that ain't leading anybody to Christ. It may lead people to your church, but it ain't leading anybody to Christ. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. We are called and commissioned to be different when we are exposed in sin. The gospel is magnified and God is glorified. We're to walk in the light. Paul closes this section with a command, with a declaration. Verse 14. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. He's calling believers to wake up. We've wandered through this world in a spiritual slumber for far too long. You can't even mention sin in church anymore. You're looked at as a pariah. If you speak out against sin, if you mention sin, if you mention sin, if you mention hell, if you mention condemnation, if you mention wrath, basically, in many churches, the gospel is God is love and he tolerates everything and everybody. That's not the gospel, brothers and sisters. We've lost our way, and the Lord is calling us to awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Who is the text to? Look at the verse before. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. That's verse 13 and verse 15. See then that you walk circumventantly, carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Who is he talking to? He's talking to believers. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, Christ will give you light. It's time to stop playing around, brothers and sisters. You're one day closer to the end of your life. We're one day closer to glory. And the question is this, are you going to walk with the Lord or not? For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk. It's a word for all of us, brothers and sisters. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Let us never forget the church of Laodicea. Far too often, I think we're living in that spirit. We have need of nothing. We're rich. Look at all the programs. Look at all the money. Look at all that we're doing. Look at all. And it's like, yeah. And look at the carnality and the wickedness of the body of Christ. It's not much difference today, brothers and sisters, in the church and the world. That's why the church is such a laughingstock. The church is a laughingstock to the world. They're like, these are Christians? Ask the Lord. Seek him. Awake. Seek him. And see if these things are true. Romans 13, verse 11 through 14. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night's far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. We have to put it on, brothers and sisters. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in riot and in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Romans 13, 11 through 14. Realize this, in the book of Romans, Paul is telling you about being justified by faith, to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly. Sins forgiven. Having peace with God. No condemnation. Walking in the Spirit. But yet, what does it lead up to? What's the imperatives? Don't do this. Don't walk this way, brothers and sisters. Let me conclude with this illustration. There was once a great fire in Edinburgh, Scotland, in which people hurried to exit the building through a passage that led to the street. They were almost safe when a rush of smoke met them, blowing into the passage from the outside. The smoke concealed the light just outside and prevented them from seeing the only chance they had of escape. In their darkness, they did not know that safety was just ahead. Instead of running straight through the smoke, they entered through a door into a room that seemed safe. But soon all the oxygen was exhausted and they all suffocated. If only they had seen the light, they might have lived. The world needs the light that we have to show them. It is the Lord's will that his children be light in a dark world. It is the power of his light within us that will highlight the difference between us and the lost world around us. It's the power of his light within us. Christ is living out his life now to us. Galatians 2:20 tells us, "For I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Brothers and sisters, Christ gave himself for us. He died for our sins. For even as much as we may want to walk in the light, you may be fellowshipping with the Lord. You may be in a close, intimate relationship with the Lord, but every one of us stumble, fall. We trying to walk in the light. We stagger around. The smoke gets in our eyes. But we get up and we continue to walk. Walk in the light doesn't mean that you never fall, you never slip, but you're walking in the light. And I pray today that the Father would enable you to walk in the light. And if you've never come to Jesus Christ for salvation, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Come to Christ today and be saved.